Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, BT's having issues. Doesn't want to fade out nice. It's one of those days.
Well, you know what? I know, girl.
Somebody is going to get cut. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Somebody's about to get cut. Ooh, people, I got a list.
True story. Somebody's going to get cut. 9 ways to Sunday, people. Stay out of the way. Stay out of the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, people. Good morning, Virginia. How are you this fine, fine day?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Mm-hmm. Right? I know.
Ooh. I'm working on it. So, hopefully, you know, it'll get better. I'm trying to open up our Twitch channel, and y'all ever have one of those days when just everything goes bork, it goes sideways, and you're like, stop it! I'm working on it. So hello, everybody out there. There we go. Finally got our Twitch channel open. Yay!
Man, let me just tell y'all. I think I feel.
I need a redo.
Yeah, we need to start over.
Yeah. Hello. Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
I'm hearing some weird noise. I don't know. Anyway, happy birthday. It's turning into Frag Dolls Week. Happy birthday to Miss Brooke Hadabaugh, a.k.a. Brooklyn from Original Frag Doll. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brooklyn.
Happy birthday. I had no idea what the song was about, but...
But you sing and we like it. Pretty much it's the thing, and we like it. We don't have a choice. I didn't say it was the truth. I said you sing and we like it, and we don't have a choice.
Oh, I love my Corey. I love my Corey.
We have no choice. Yeah. I'm trying.
I like it.
I'll be irritated. And I'm trying to make it funny, but I'm not. Oh, man.
I'm trying hard not to be irritated today, but it's all like grumble.
And I actually woke up feeling much better than I have the past few days. I was like, oh, I might do all right today. Woke up and was like,
and I shouldn't be all grumbly because, like, I got some cool stuff going on right now. I might have to show you later. It's all like awesome and stuff.
Uh-oh. Be afraid, y'all. Be afraid.
Girl has been working her hiney off, let me tell you.
I've been sleeping.
I have not. I have not. I got asked to make something, and I made it. I mean, it's not completely done, but yeah, you'll have to see it. I'm all impressed. But, hey, you know what else I'm happy about right now?
What?
CISPA is in limbo.
Damn straight.
Hell yeah. You keep going down. You keep going down like a $2 hooker. CISPA in limbo.
Do I need to remind you, people just at work, Ginger, everybody don't have our job where they can sit
my
and pay
for anything. My bad. Sister, keep going down like the Titanic.
There you go. Well, that's not much better, but at least those people are all gone. So.
Like a limbo champion with your hair on fire. Anyway, as we pointed out earlier, even while the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act may have passed by a 288 to 127 margin, which is shameful. Shame on you, people. Shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
In the House, and it garnered more votes from Democrats this time around than it did in 2012 when it was passed. Shame on you. Stop taking money. The bill faces an unknown future in the Senate, where other issues like internet taxes, immigration, and more are the causes getting priority right now, despite a reported lobbying effort by supporters of the bill in the neighborhood of $84 million. The controversial bill that supposedly makes it easier for corporations to share customers' personal information with the government isn't even on the radar in the Senate at this point. The Senate is just too busy, and the bill pushed in the Senate last year, the Cybersecurity Act of 2012, doesn't have a lead sponsor because Joe Lieberman retired. Hell yeah! Get the hell out that door. Do not come back through it. And even if Joe Lieberman were still in the Senate, which, you know, we'd have to burn the place down if he was, it would likely face the threat of another filibuster, like it did last year, because it lacks the votes needed to overcome it. It's going to be interesting to see if the Senate picks up this bill later this year, or some other senator puts something new forward. But for now, it's in limbo, and you know what? Somebody just shoot it and put it out of its misery. Do it. Shoot it.
Mm-mm.
Kill it. Slay it!
Slayer. How many of you started grabbing imaginary controllers when I said that?
I was all like, wait a minute. Wrong game.
Like, oh, wait a minute. Not playing anything.
First it comes out, and then it all went to crap.
Well, bad news for EA. Yeah, more EA funerals. In the form of jobs. Yeah, EA partners are going to be closing. That's a new report came out just a few hours ago. Multiple anonymous sources, not the group Anonymous. The word Anonymous is not the group. Learn the difference. Anonymous sources have indicated that EA's partners' label is due to shut down. According to a report on Game Informer, the remaining projects due to be released on the partners' label, specifically Insomniac's Fuse and Respawn Entertainment's debut project, will be unaffected by its closure. Further details are unavailable right now. According to GI.biz, though EA's fiscal 2013's earnings call, which is due to happen May 7th, is likely to contain more information on the decision, games industry did contact EA for comment, but nothing so far. EA Partners, known as EA Distribution until 2003, was co-founded in 1979 by Tom Frisna, an industry veteran who previously founded the development studios Accolade and 360. The label was intended to be a suite of publishing services that would allow EA to work with a sort of smaller indie developers normally averse to the standard publishing agreement, which most of them are, and I don't blame you, indies. Over the subsequent years, EA Partners helped to co-publish and distribute a consistently interesting, though not always commercially successful, portfolio of games. It worked with Valve on the Orange Box, Portal 2, the Left 4 Dead series, Crytek on the Crysis game, Harmonix on the Rock Band franchise. However, it also helped to release Real-Time Worlds, APB, Double Fine's Brutal Legend, People Can Fly's Bulletstorm, Grasshopper Manufacturer's Shadow of the Damned, and 38 Studios' Kingdoms of Amalur. I remember that. Reckoning. Oh, man. Idiosyncratic and ambitious projects that ultimately performed below expectations. A lot of that had to do with EA, though. The move to close EA Partners arrives when it seems to be an inflection point for the company. John Riccioli, of course, stepped down last month, and they had a round of layoffs we've been telling you about every week, and they've announced the closure of the remaining games from Playfish, a company it acquired for more than $300 million in 2009.
Wow.
Yeah. And another side note, I think we mentioned this, or you might have seen the last thing I did before I passed out last night, which was to join the release info, the private release video, I don't know what they're calling it, trailer. I don't know what the hell they're doing at Microsoft. But anyway, they're going to be announcing the next-gen Xbox officially on May 21st.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, and thank you for the invite. I don't know who provided it, but thank you. We will see. Well, we'll probably drag Jen in.
Yay! And Jen will be like, no!
Well,
no!
Stay out.
No.
Did you stay out? But yeah, we'll let you know what we find out. May 21st. That's not that far from here. Yeah.
No, I gotta yell at those people for not doing it right.
Oh, we know they're not gonna do it right. What is going on? Is there like a squirrel living in my computer or something? I don't know. I'm hearing weird noises and I have a headset on, so I can't tell what exactly I'm hearing or if I should get up and run. But I do have my scissors ready in case a zombie should run around the corner.
I don't know. What are you hearing?
Boom, scratch, 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 scratch. Boom, scratch, scratch. I'm not pleased.
Well, all right.
Yeah, well.
All right. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, you do Phineas and Ferb, and then I'm going to tell this, and it's going to be some unhappy people.
This summer, the boys are going to do it all in Phineas and Ferb quests for cool stuff. Hunt for treasure with the inventive duo on Xbox 360, Wii U, Wii Nintendo 3DS, and Nintendo DS, not DDS, DS. Ooh, Majesco Entertainment. Stop stroking your own ego and other things. Today announces Phineas and Ferb Quest for Cool Stuff is expected to launch this August. Based on the top-rated Emmy Award-winning hit series, Phineas and Ferb Quest for Cool Stuff will release on the Xbox 360, Wii U, Wii, Nintendo DS, and the 3DS. Majesco also plans to release a unique Phineas and Ferb smartphone and tablet game in August. Isn't this a kid thing?
Phineas and Ferb, yeah, kind of, sort of. There's some adults that play.
Okay, maybe. All right. Okay, I guess I can see that. It's like a smartphone for a kid. Anyways, and a tablet game in August, which will feature Agent P and the rest of the OWCA organization without a cool acronym. I like that. Join Phineas and Ferb as they travel to out-of-this-world places in their newest invention, the ATT, the All-Terrain Transformatron. Yeah. This upgradable, customizable, ultra-cool amphibious ride helps the boys hunt for lost loot to display in the Backyard Museum of Cool. Phineas and Ferb Quest for Cool Stuff features many of the fan-favorite characters from the hit show, including Perry the Platypus, a.k.a. Secret Agent P, Candace, Isabella, Buford, Valjeet, and the evil doctor, Doofenshmirtz, who is determined to unleash his latest creation to get rid of cool stuff in Ader on the tri-state area. Okay, awesome. This does look like it could be kind of cute. I was hoping for a trailer. People, when you come out with new games, make a trailer. Don't be cheap. Make a trailer. Okay? It's not that hard. Just record some gameplay and you got yourself a trailer.
Well, you have to be specific about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
You have to be specific. All right, I got bad news. And
no,
probably it's going to become
you're
the topic.
To have bad news.
Well, it's going to become the topic of conversation all day today. Apparently, Valve is going to be adding subscriptions to.
What? The hell?
Okay, let me stop being all sensational. It's only for specific games. The launch title for this particular service is Darkfall Unholy Wars, which cost upfront $29.95. This is in euros, of course, and according to Eurogamer, it'll be followed up by an $11.95 renewal fee every 30 days. Valve noted that further subscription-based games will follow. So that means all this stuff I found on there, EverQuest and the free-to-play games, they may start doing some other stuff with that. I'm very, very, very scared. Users
You're
are free.
Please.
Yeah, no, we're not. Users are free to sign up for, renew, or cancel your subscription plan at any time directly through Steam. I'm still concerned about this. Yeah.
Don't. No, just.
And that one was short. That one was short, so I'm going to tell you about this one, and I was trying to grab this in time, but we're not going to get to see it, unfortunately. I would have passed it to you, and this actually happened last week, but we were kind of in and out last week. 20 minutes of the Elder Scrolls Online beta play found its way online. It emerged last weekend via PC Games N, where it popped up on YouTube and Daily Motion before it was removed following copyright claims from ZeniMax Media, the parent company of TESO developer ZeniMax Online Studios. But it was available just mere seconds ago, and it is now gone because I was going to have Ginger throw it up. We were just going to go all out there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's gone. It shows character creation and the Daggerfall starting area. The player called Worst YouTube begins life on a boat. Soon enough, he runs about the shore killing enemies and local wildlife, including the Elder Scrolls famous mud crab. Familiar are the Elder Scrolls mechanics, such as a sneaking eye and the first-person perspective are included. The Elder Scrolls Online is currently still in closed beta, with ZeniMax Online sending out invitation in waves. Beta events are held at weekends, so it's likely this video was recorded during one of those times. Oh, I was going to do it for you.
And then they took it away.
They were like, whatever. You all cannot be, because, you know, we're all live and stuff. They can't really make us take ours now. Ours, mine.
Ours. You can do it. You can do it.
They'd have to go through some trouble.
Yeah, but the people, again, if you get invited to these things and you record this when you're not supposed to, and then you get your pee-pee smashed, we told you not to do it.
Yeah, they've been warned, and they are not listening.
They never do. They never do. All right, so I got to talk about Blendu. That's right. Blendoku. My bad. There we go. I was saying it wrong. Blendoku. Blendoku.
Mm-mm.
All right, so with nearly 5 million games played already, Blendoku is set to become the next mobile craze, entertaining audiences and educating players around the world about colors, like a color crossword mixed with Sudoku? Anyways, the game redefines what can be expected from an edutainment product. I like that word, edutainment. Blendoku is a new game released this month by Lonely Few, and has taken the world by storm. Based on a simple premise, the game challenges the player to complete a crossword-like board of colors. Like other highly addictive puzzle games, Blendoku's design is effortlessly simple, but has a level of depth and challenge that's keeping players hooked. Unlike other puzzle games, however, it's also educational, teaching players advanced color comprehension taught only in the finest art schools. Based purely on the principles of colors and how they blend, the game is highly accessible for all ages and cultural backgrounds. While enjoying the game's 475 levels, that's a lot of levels.
Indeed it is.
Mm-hmm. The player is indirectly learning the core fundamentals of color theory and color blending techniques. Blendoku is so effective at teaching color that multiple institutions are now using it as actual in-class exercises. The developers were even asked to address a community of art teachers about how Blendoku can be used broadly to teach color theory. That is kind of cool. Thousands of reviews earning an average user score of 96%. Oh, hey, there we go. Blendoku, whatever. It's available now on Apple's App Store and Google Play Store as a free download. Yay, we like free! Yay, for free! No? Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes.
Yay, for free!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was looking at something. I'm looking at something. Yeah, we're about to have a problem. Okay.
I gotta be stabbing.
Oh, some people about to get stabbed for real. Faux reels. All up in the reels. Okay. What happened to my story? I just had one.
I don't know, but you just point me in the right direction. I will be all stabbing.
Should I just push you at them?
Yeah.
Just push you real hard and say, there! Stab in the eye.
Yes. Totally. I will do it.
Ginger, why were you broadcasting a protest, CISPA? Or did you forget to change your title again? Is that what happened? On your page?
Oh, yeah, on my page, yeah.
Were you protesting the CISPA, or did you forget to change your title?
Yesterday, I forgot to change my title, but I changed it afterwards. Because I started the stream, and then I was like, wait a minute.
This just came. It just came in and said protest CISPA just now. I was like, why is she protesting CISPA now? Then I had to go look.
I'm not protesting CISPA right now.
Don't be protesting a CISPA right now. Not
I'm
while
we're
not
protesting no CISPA right now.
Y'all come and get your gingers. All right. We all need cookies for that matter. More interesting news. Yeah. Y'all ready for this? This is gonna be one of those days. We're gonna be irritated, and tonight is probably gonna get worse.
Who are we killing? You point me in the right direction. Who am I killing?
Well, I don't necessarily think this is bad news or anything. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Something else. I love it when they do it, when I get stuff that pops in right away. Okay, somebody from Lulzik. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What happened?
24-year-old Australian citizen who claims to be the leader of the disbanded activist collective Lulzik has been arrested on hacking charges. He's facing up to 10 years in jail if he's convicted. The man has not been named, but apparently has given police reason to understand that he is the de facto leader of the Lulzik group, a splinter group which formed from Anonymous after some members felt that Anonymous had deviated from its original cause. The man reports the New York Times was tracked down by police after an Australian government website came under attack early this year. The AFB has zero tolerance for this type of behavior, said the Australian Federal Police cybercrime head Glenn McEwen. So there are no denials of his claims or of being the leader. So he's not saying he didn't do it. The unnamed suspect is believed to have operated under the screen name Ashok and has frequently asserted himself as the leader of Lulzik in the group's online chat rooms. Really? The group claims...
Learn to deny.
you ain't got no proof? I don't know what you're talking about. The group claimed responsibility for a number of attacks on companies, websites, and government agencies during a rash of hacking events in 2011, including assaults on Minecraft, Eve, League of Legends, Nintendo...
Why would you assault
Sony
Minecraft? what's wrong with you, people?
Because they're anyway... Lulzik officially disbanded in 2011 following the arrest of Ryan Cleary, who was alleged to have been involved with the group. A message released at the time claimed that it was originally intended that Lulzik would only be in existence for 50 days. Following the dispersal of the group, a spate of arrests, including the leader, Hector Xavier Monsegur, led to a number of guilty pleas by defendants over the hacking of Sony, including the capitulation of Cleary himself. More members of the group pled guilty early this month. Notice, nobody from the group that you splintered from has been arrested.
No kidding.
And notice they are not doing anything stupid like attacking games, Minecraft, Eve, League of Legends. I don't see anywhere in there that you were making any kind of statement that was going to be beneficial to the community that you come from.
And I thought about being, you know, all sad for you for about, I don't know, 2 minutes. And then I was like, you know what? No. F you. You messed with my game. I'm no longer sad for you.
I don't understand the reasoning behind, whoa, Sony is taking your money. Well, honey, I'm giving it to them. They're not taking it. It's not something that people are forced to do. This is what the difference is. Nobody's forced to play their PlayStation, okay? And I gripe that I don't like the money they make me spend, but you shouldn't shut it down because I've already paid them their money. You didn't help me.
Well, somebody's got to pay because otherwise this stuff doesn't work, people.
Well, my point is their reasoning was, well, so Sony's taking your money. They're not taking it if I'm giving it to them. I have the option of not paying. They're not saying, you know what, we're going to take the money out of your account, Corey, and there's nothing you can do about it. Then, yes, please shut them down if they do that. Please stop them from taking my money. But you didn't do anything helpful to gamers by shutting down the games that they've already paid for, whether we like the fact that we pay for them or not, whether we gripe about it or not. This was not something we needed your assistance with. You know what I need assistance with? I need you to go to my cell phone company and stop nickel and diming me. How come I'm getting charged when I call my voicemail? It's my own voicemail. I'm just saying.
It's my own voicemail, damn it.
So why didn't you do something about that? Instead of...
I agree. I agree with this. Why don't y'all fix that?
I'm not crunching in your ear.
you go ahead and crunch.
I was saving it for you.
You crunch. You know, that's fine. I'll pull out my own crunch and you'll be like, oh, no, you didn't.
I was saving it just for you because I love you so much.
Scared? I am not scared. All right, so it is my go again.
It's your go.
Yes, German browser game operator Travian. Oh, God, everybody's being laid off. Lays off 60 employees.
Ow.
Ouch, yeah. German browser game operator Travian has laid off up to 60 employees due to internal restructuring, according to a Games Industry International report, as reported by its German sister site. Multiple sources have confirmed the move with GI's German reporter during the Quo Vadis event, which is taking place this week in Berlin. The game also apparently put a hiring freeze in place for an undetermined amount of time. I'm going to lose my voice. In early 2012, the company said that it employed roughly 230 people. At the time, it had just acquired a majority stake in Cologne-based developer Bright Future. not looking so bright now, is it?
No.
The company operates a number of online game titles in Europe, including Travian, Rail Nation, Goal Unlimited, and Miramagia.
Tinder, are we broadcasting?
Yeah, we're broadcasting.
Hmm.
I show us live.
It shut off and sent me a message again. Something weird is going on with the Twitch servers, too. I'm going to need y'all to stop.
Yeah, I get that message, too. Like, I don't know, about 2 minutes after I'm broadcasting, it shows, you can now edit your thingy. No, I can't.
No, because I'm still doing it. What you mean I can?
I know. It's
It's confuffling, especially today.
Confuffling?
Yes, I like that word, confuffle.
I know. I keep looking at the clock. Like, how long have we been doing this? Because, man, it's one of those days. I just want to crawl back underneath my covers. Boston Festival of Indie Games. Can I do another, by the way? Yeah.
Go on. You already done started. Go on, girl, go.
All right. Thank you. I was actually trying to see if I can get this video up, but I can't. So, anyways, organizers of the Boston Festival of Indie Games announced the launch of a Kickstarter campaign to fund the annual event dedicated to independently developed games by game developers in the greater Boston area. The event takes place September 14th at MIT's Stratton Student Center and Johnson Athletic Center. As part of its Kickstarter campaign, it's offering the Fiji Bundle at a $25 reward level, which includes a number of games such as Field Runners by Subatomic Studios, Go Home Dinosaurs, thank you, by Firehose Games, Fish Listening to the Radio by Pop Cannibal, Fish Listening to the Radio, really, Lost Marbles by Binary Takeover, and a number of free titles such as Djobin's Easiest Game Ever by Djobin Games and Moonlight Mistress of Mischief by Lantana Games. If you're not interested in that tier, but want to back the event and get an attendee pass, you can opt for the $5 tier instead. Following its 2012 event, organizers realized that they needed a bigger venue for this year's events, so they decided to try a Kickstarter campaign to fund it. The success of our inaugural festival put us in a great position to expand Boston Fig in 2013. We are adding quite a bit of new fest content, such as live game music, tournaments, outdoor games, and a children's game room. We'll be showing new movies and bringing back crowd favorites from last year. Everything at the festival will be within the same concentrated area, so no one misses out on our game art gallery or tabletop game room. We're making sure... I'm going to lose my voice. Oh, my God. We're making sure there's food service close by, so no one goes hungry. We will have more talks and workshops that bring educational value to the festival, most importantly. We will have the space necessary to host not only more games, but also more attendees, with a lot more room to walk around and have a great time. All right, so they do have a Kickstarter page. It's kickstarter.com/project/BostonFig/Boston-Festival-of-Indie-Games-2013. And yes, I'll be tweeting that out.
Fantastical.
Fantastical.
No, ma'am. All right. Zynga chalked up a win and a loss. yesterday, they announced their first quarter earnings, which showed a significant turnaround in terms of profit for the period. Came to about $4.1 million, a nice bounce back from the $85.4 million loss earlier last year. But sales declined 18% to $264 million as bookings fell 30% to $230 million. More disconcerting, however, is that Zynga's numbers on users continue to decline. Daily active users decreased 21% from 65 million to the first quarter of 2012. In the first quarter of 2012 to 52 million in the first quarter of 2013. This also represented an 8% decrease on consecutive quarter basis. Monthly active users decreased from 292 million to 253. And so on and so forth, they lost a lot of people. Anyway, despite the poor numbers on users, Zynga was especially pleased with its Farmville sequel, noting that Farmville 2 was a breakout hit with daily audience engagement and bookings exceeding the company's expectations. But you added no depth to it. I was hoping you were going to add some more simulation to it. It basically was a 3D version of what you already created. Really?
Y'all made Corey mad.
That was
Y'all
bad.
Made Corey mad.
Very mad. Gary Smash! Looking ahead, Zynga says they are hopeful to boost their bottom line with their first suite of real money gaming Zynga Plus Poker, Zynga Plus Casino. They're in the UK. The company said these offerings are just the first step toward realizing Zynga's long-term vision of bringing players the next generation of real money games on multiple platforms in regulated markets. For the second quarter, Zynga is providing an outlook of revenue in the range of $225 million to $235 million, along with a net loss in the range of $36.5 million to $26.5 million. Pinnacus is saying, since we're very encouraged by the strong execution from our teams, breakout hit of Farmville 2, yay, 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 captured the imagination of nearly 40 million players every month. Now, all that is great, but the investors are still not happy this morning because Zynga's stock is trading down. As of yesterday, 9% down as of late yesterday.
Oh, that's not good.
Yep, on an earnings call, Zynga revealed some news that they did not put in their fiscal press release, which is that the company is going to be shutting down some more games. So you all that play these games, start, you know, spending up your money because, or find someplace else to spend it on Facebook. But the games getting the axe are going to include The Ville, Empires and Allies, Dream Zoo, and Zynga City on Tencent. Chief Operations Officer David Koh said that these moves will help the company contain costs as those four titles have become lower performing games. Because they gets to be boring. I don't want
they do get to be boring. How dare them?
I can't just sit and clickety click click all the time. I need some spreadsheets to read or something.
Or something.
Something.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so mini ninjas.
Mini ninjas, mini, mini ninjas. Sorry, I had to do it.
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
All right, let me see if I can get this going. Blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. Get big, get big. There we go, mini ninjas.
That's what she said.
It ain't getting no bigger, it ain't getting bigger. Mini Ninja's content update introduces animal companions. Run even further with the help of Panda Fox and Crane power-ups. Square Enix announced today that Mini Ninja's The Endless Runner game, which has reached over 7 million runs in the last month alone, will receive its first content update, which introduces animal companions to the fun-packed and fast-paced adventure. Use your animal skills to run further, defeat more enemies, and gain more coins. Three animal power-ups are available in the in-game dojo shop, each with their own unique abilities to help overcome obstacles and defeat enemies. So what do we have? We have the panda, powerful and wise. The panda possesses strength like no other. With the panda on your side, enemies pose no threat. The panda is invincible to any foe, able to knock aside anybody with ease. The fox, agile and swift, the fox's dexterity is unmatched. When speeding through levels, the fox is able to avoid enemies completely with his double jump, pouncing out of danger, and grabbing the hardest to reach rewards. And then we have the crane. Graceful but deadly, the crane offers devastating aerial abilities to vanquish foes. No longer will flying enemies catch players out, the crane is able to leap and attack even the highest baddies from above. Mini Ninja is a lightning-paced, beautifully styled, endless adventure runner game, which reunites fans with their favorite characters from the original console storyline. Mini Ninjas is now available for 69 quid, ponies, cookies, something, whatever the little L euro sign is, or 99 cents from the App Store on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Mini Ninjas!
Okay, I got two things involving Nintendo, and we will definitely be talking about this later, because I know this is... Ooh, wow. Okay, so Nintendo, no press conference at E3 this year.
What?
Nope, no press conference in a financial results briefing. President Satoru Iwata, whose name I love saying, announced that the company will not have the traditional press conference at this year's E3. Instead, they will be hosting two closed software-focused events for press and distributors. So those of you who make up your little gaming site so you can get to E3, ain't going to happen for you. They said they decided not to host a large-scale presentation targeted at everyone in the international audience where we announce new information as we did in the past. He said, instead, at the E3 show this year, we are planning to host a few smaller events that are specifically focused at our software lineup for the U.S. market. So there will be one closed event for American distributors, and then we will host another closed hands-on experience event for mainly the Western gaming media. Thank you, Nintendo! Oh, my God! I hate going to those things. I hate to try to Oh, get through all those people. Okay, so during the E3 period, they said we will utilize our direct communications tools, such as Nintendo Direct, to deliver information to our Japanese audience, including those who are at this financial briefing, mainly focusing on the software that we're going to launch in Japan. We'll take the same approach outside Japan for the overseas fans as well. I want to explain that Nintendo found that the broad conference event was not efficient since it wasn't specifically tailored to a certain audience. As video games fans are looking for information about games, it seems that they are less interested in sales figures that investors and analysts, on the other hand, might attach much greater importance to, and distribution partners are looking for information on how we're going to market our products. And I love it. Thank you. He also said, given that we now have an established method such as Nintendo Direct, we feel that we'll better be able to deliver our messages more appropriately and effectively by doing so individually based on the various needs of different groups of people. How thoughtful. This year's E3 is going to be a software-focused event overall because, you know, they've already put their console out. Sony already announced the PlayStation 4 console, leaving a software slant, final hardware design, and retail price for potential E3 reveal work. And, of course, Microsoft just announced that its next Xbox event will take place on May 21st, weeks before E3. The company later confirmed that software for the next Xbox would be showcased at E3 itself. So we're not getting any consoles, just straight software. And now Nintendo will follow suit. And this is going to be very interesting. And I love that they're doing this because, oh, my God, I'm all about some sales figures. We share them with you all, that some of you that like to have it. But those sales calls are brutal. Censor them.
Oh, my God.
They last hours.
Oh, I need to throw them again.
And I'm like, just tell me, did you earn money or did you lose it? I need to go.
That's all I need to know so that I can go and gossip with them. All I need to know. And how bad? How much money did you lose?
How much did you lose? How much did you gain? And when are we going to get our copy of the games that
No kidding, right? That's all I want to know.
So, yeah, but I'm very happy that they're doing it this way. It will save a lot of us, especially those of us who work the events, a lot of time of not having to sit through, you know, a five-hour presentation. If I know this one specifically for me, I go, and I'm done.
Exactly.
And I go on to the next thing. Very nice.
Exactly.
I give them credit. They're thinking outside the box, and they're getting more back to the roots of what E3 was supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this big old car show with girls laid out across
the
No
kidding! No kidding. All right, so here we go.
Oh, wait, I forgot I had two, didn't I?
Oh, wait, all right, so go and go.
I'm sorry. Also, Nintendo is getting some flack for, where is this guy's name? They said they forgot Marketing 101. This is actually going to be short. Asif Khan, he says he still believes Wii U will outsell past flops like GameCube, and Nintendo's brands will retain their value for decades to come. Basically, they're saying when they put out the Wii U, and we said this before, they forgot marketing. So we're going to talk about that later on tonight is what I wanted to put that out there. Topic for tonight, make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time when we talk about it. Hotness. Ginger, do you hear some moaning?
A moaning?
Yeah.
No, but I was hearing something that sounded like somebody collecting coins.
That would be my Village Life, which is trying to start up, and that moaning would be Ginger's husband in-game, who keeps going, he just did it again.
Is that a good moan or a bad moan?
I really don't know at this point.
Things a girl needs to know.
He's got a nice beard, though. Very thick beard.
Varnos. All right, so apparently Ginger's husband has a beard. 3 days remain for Battleworld Chronos to make a leap to iOS and Android. Final stretch goal is in sight as new videos screenshots are released. Thursday, the 25th of April, KingArt Games today released new screenshots and a video to accompany its final call to arms. Wait, y'all are making noises. Don't be making noises.
Who, me?
Here we go. No, the video. Today released new screenshots and video to accompany its final call to arms as the turn-based strategy project Battle Worlds Chronos nears the end of its hugely successful Kickstarter campaign. With 3 days left on the clock, the Kickstarter campaign's second stretch goal that will enable the upcoming game to be played on mobile devices is within reach. We are enormously thankful to all our campaign backers, who have been incredibly supportive and have really got involved beyond just financially backing Battle Worlds Chronos and helping us to create the game that we have been wanting to make for many years. This is coming from Jan John Thason, creative director at King Art. It has been quite a ride, but it isn't over yet. Anyone that wants to back our project can help us achieve our next goal of bringing the game to iOS and Android, and it only has 3 days left to do it. Awesome. Battle World Chronos is a classic turn-based strategy that was originally created 6 years ago and proved popular with the community testing. At the time, it proved difficult to get outside funding for the game, so King Art moved on to other projects, such as the critically acclaimed point-and-click adventure, the Book of Unwritten Tales. Several years later, King Art has brought the project to Kickstarter, where it reached its goal of $120,000 within 7 days of being online. Donations have continued to pour in from a huge number of supportive gamers, excited to see a classic turn-based strategy be brought to life. And it's currently nearing its second stretch goal, including iOS and Android versions of the game. All right, so it's got 6,588 backers, with $227,052 pledged of a $120,000 goal. It's got 64 hours to go. So, if you want to help out, y'all go right on ahead and do that. I'm looking to see if I know what the stretch goal is. Because, you know, you'd think they would tell us.
No,
so far,
that would be
they,
like, right.
They've not mentioned it. So, I hope you get your stretch goal.
That would be
right. Oh, play everywhere. $250,000. And they've got $227,000, 64 hours to go. So head over there and help them out. Yay!
Looks interesting.
It does look interesting. It's really pretty, too.
I want to play. All right. Good morning to you, Amy BB. I see your new picture up. It's nice. You do good work. All right.
Okay.
Huh?
What?
Amy BB.
I said, does she have nice fluffy cakes?
Well, I don't know. It's her second life avatar.
Zatsmeen. Thank you, Zatsmeen, for the retweet. Very sweet of you.
Oh, we like to retweet. Do it. Do it slow.
Do it harder.
No, ma'am.
What?
We can't do that.
I didn't do nothing. I'm doing a thing.
She never knows what I'm talking about. Have y'all noticed that whenever she's doing something wrong?
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do nothing.
Well, I was going to tell you about Camelot Unchained, but...
Oh, I think I need to hear about this. Yes, I do.
They ain't nothing going on. I'll tell you about another time. Okay.
She is talking about... Girl, you get cut.
I could take it. And I'm going to turn around and cut somebody else. This is going to be a chain of cutting going on.
True story.
A chain of it. Just slice and dice all up and through. Okay, so... I'm trying to breathe and stuff. I would need them not to cut the grass on a day when the pollen is high. That would be good.
That would be very nice, wouldn't it?
That would be excellent.
No. They don't ever listen to us, do they?
No, so I'm going to have to suffer. Okay, so my story does not want to load, so I'm going to have to go to my backup story because, you know, you have to have backup. This is something else we'll probably be talking about later, too. Remember we were talking about yesterday at Walmart and how their ratings and all that good stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well, Brian Fargo, who's the head of InXile, is talking about the advantages of doing crowdfunding, which is they don't have... Yeah, he says... Okay, they got a lot of support when they put out their game Wasteland 2, the RPG. Well, it's not out yet, but they had a Kickstarter, very successful. They also did Planescape Torment RPG from decades ago at Interplay, and he said the new game, they have a new game coming out now, Torment Tides of Numera, is based on the RPG setting created by D&D developer Mont Cook. And he's saying the reason he went ahead with the Torment Kickstarter while working on Wastelands 2, he says it's keep the teams employed as projects move through different phases is why they do it. He says also they're pretty much done with the design side. I said this means a steady stream of work for all different talents employed at Exile, and this is just a much healthier process. In any case, they said they don't have to deal with the likes of Walmart was the biggest thing for them. Cutting out yet another person involved.
That sounds kind of like fighting words right there. We don't have to deal with Walmart.
Well, Walmart, you know, Walmart has issues.
Walmart does have issues. I'm not a fan of Walmart much anymore.
I like to go in there and pick up a couple of things hither and yon, but they really are odd. But yeah, so that'll be one of the things we'll talk about later. They got some screenshots they released of their game Wasteland 2, which is looks like a weird mix of of Fallen Earth and Red Dead Redemption. It's
Fallen Earth and Red Dead Redemption.
With a three-quarter top-down view. Three-quarter down view, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, interesting. I don't know. Interesting things going on there. Yeah.
What about this?
What is our mail server? And yes, peoples, we know the Game of Matrix is down. We have already yelled at people. That's one of the reasons why we got a cut. Yes, we know.
It's one of those reasons why today is just going to be one of those days all day long. And people, you better get out of our way or you will get sliced and diced 9 ways this Sunday.
Somebody is going to get cut. Oh, I have to say a loving thank you and a hug for ZQ77. Who gave me my birthday gift a few days early just to annoy me. And I know you said, why is a birthday gift annoying? It's shoes, and I'm too sick to shop for the shoes.
Yay, shoes!
I'm too sick to shop for the shoes.
Aw, poor boy.
I don't want to shop. When I don't want to shop for shoes, y'all know it's serious business, right? And we're talking about real shoes.
So everybody wants to know, when is Corey's birthday?
I'm not telling anybody. If you don't know, you don't need to know.
7th?
And that's why Ginger's going to get cut.
It should be 21.
That's not going to help you. I'd be proud of my real age. I ain't going to tell them on air. That makes it too easy to find me. But yes, I'm very proud of my real age. That's right. I look good for 150.
Hell yeah. Look at those boobies. Not drooping at all. All right, so.
That's because of the bustier.
ITC sides with Apple and mobile phone sensor patent disputes. Apple has won another battle this month at the U.S. International Trade Commission. The ruling dismissed patent claims by Google's Motorola Mobility against Apple's iPhone. If Motorola had prevailed, the ITC could have instituted a ban on imports of the iPhone into the United States from Apple's manufacturers in China. The ITC looked into the case after Administrative Law Judge Thomas Pinder invalidated the final patent in the dispute last year. Pinder ruled that Motorola could not patent a sensor that prevents unintended hangups and application launches when the phone is close to a person's face because of its similarity with other patents on the market. In its appeal of that ruling, Motorola argued that it filed the patent back in 1999 before mobile touch screen devices were prevalent in the market. The company also said in its appeal that late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs himself called the sensor a breakthrough. Apple countered Jobs wasn't talking about the sensor patent directly. The ITC ended its investigation Monday and sided with Apple's arguments that the sensor patent is invalid due to its lack of inventiveness. And of course, the patent war between the two companies continues to rage on in other courts in the U.S. and abroad. Yay! So that's not over. So we get to see more fights. What fights? Fight!
Really? You know what?
Popcorn.
That's like, you know, the tire companies going after each other. You have tread on your tires. Well, so do you. Well, just stop it, y'all. It's stupid.
It is stupid. Some of y'all make me want to just smack a baby.
Okay, I'm going to back away from Ginger with my hands in the air.
Baby koala.
That's not going to help you. I'm going to back away with my hands in the air. I'm going to stand over here in the corner and mind my own beeswax. I love you, Ginger. We'll bail you out.
The guy who sold a baby on Facebook. Oh my God.
I actually had a story to tell you I saw yesterday, but I forgot. Do you know that they are accepting the applications for trips to Mars, by the way? I know you mentioned it.
I want to go to Mars!
Wait, there is one catch, Ginger. You will never be able to come back here. It's a one-way trip. I noticed you got quiet then. You cannot ever come back. That's...
Is there going to be internet?
Probably not for quite a few years.
Oh, no.
They're looking for volunteers. You know, one-way trip. You cannot ever, ever come back.
But I get to live on Mars.
Yeah, but how you going to brag when you can't come back? I picked up this Martian rock on the south side of Mars. And I made it into a ring. You know, it glows in the dark and stuff. And it gives off heat. Look at this. You know, you can't brag because you can't come back.
Very, very, very strange.
Now, you can volunteer or you can go with a company called Virgin Galactic and pay for a ticket if you want to go. Again, one-way trip, people,
$200,000. $200,000?
Yes. Now, if you can't afford the $200,000, you can save yourself a seat while you work on getting the rest of the cash for $20,000 and pay the rest when you receive a space date, when they give you a date when they're going to send you off.
I may need to find myself sugar daddy.
Are you really going to go? We're going to miss you, Ginger.
It's Mars, man. I don't know if I could turn that down if they're actually ever offered. I'd be one of those, huh?
You'll be a new colonist and everything. On one hand, that sounds great. You're a part of history, blah, blah, blah. But at least the colonists that came here could go back on the boat. Be like, you know what? I think I don't like it. I'm just going to go on back to England, and it's fine. Or wherever it was I came from. No, Ginger, you cannot ever come back. That means no seeing relatives, no Christmas. What if the little dome with the oxygen busts open? You can't come back home. There's no ship home.
I'm going to go. Never mind. I can't say what I was going to say. That's where you find you the cutest astronaut you can, and you go out in style.
Yeah.
We only have so much oxygen left. Let's do this!
For my eyes explode in my head. In my lungs.
Exactly.
Oh, see, I don't know. I actually was like, I could, yeah, I was saying maybe I could go visit or something. It might take a few years to get there. I could be out in space for a while. I got some games I could play while I'm on the way. I could kill some time. Mm-mm, but not for forever.
Forever's only a little while, really.
All right, you gamers playing SimCity. The bugs have not gotten any better.
No? Have they gotten worse?
They've gotten worse. I actually have, this is probably the only video I have today, sadly. that I'm going to have Ginger put up. Let me pop this to you. Apparently the bugs are worse. There's the recent update, which Ginger told you about yesterday. Update 2.0, gamers had high hopes that this particular patch would address many of the high-profile issues of Maxis's controversial game, SimCity 5, whatever, I don't know, that it suffered since its launch. While it went some way towards improving the traffic and congestion that we talked about yesterday, and it beeped. Is it not showing?
What? You, the loudest trees in the world?
Yeah.
that's not SimCity.
They failed to address some other issues that caused some rather eye-catching bugs that you see there on our video. Over on SimCity subreddit, Immortalizo compiled a list of problems that includes phantom sounds, unexpected air pollution, and game crashes. And, of course, the video that we're showing you is by...
are making noises.
Yes, the video you see there is being caused by La Bomb Volante shows the SimCity producing siren and honking noises where only trees are. And apparently there's some... wait a minute, is this a video? No, that's not a video. If you look around, there's also some screenshots running around on the net where there's supposed to be a line of police. They're calling the police conga line, a city that is invaded by a line of taxis all lined up, which actually is not uncommon if you're in New York. That actually looks normal. And there is also – oh, wait, I got another video. Come on now, work with me. Work with me, people. This is what happens when you do live news, people. Okay, the favorite one is a garbage truck. Ginger, run the garbage truck.
I'm trying.
Run that garbage truck. It's supposed to be nightmarish is what Eurogamer is describing it. Of course, SimCity developers have acknowledged the problems. Lead gameplay scripter and designer Guillaume Pierre took to Twitter to confirm that the random pollution bug was in fact being worked on. Is it showing?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there it is. I had to refresh my page. I think I got booted. And now you got to run it again because my video stopped.
Whoa! What is going on? There are garbage trucks coming out of garbage trucks coming out of garbage trucks. That's not good. That can't be good.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at the line of garbage trucks.
Right?
Wow.
That's crazy. See, you know what it looks like to me? They did. They got hung up on, let's make the game really pretty. Because if you look, it's really pretty. See the shadows and stuff? Mm-hmm. And the detail. Look at all those garbage trucks coming out of there. It's really pretty. The level of detail that went into it, even though it's super small, is absolutely amazing. And it runs smooth. Let me tell you, people, smooth. There's no glitching with all that. But they didn't. They didn't get the other parts done. You got to fix the other parts.
You got to fix it.
And as some people are, here's some quotes, Elaj2 is saying that if they've made an offline mode, like people wanted, half of these wouldn't be so bad. someone says...
Just getting his little dig in there about it, ain't he?
Yeah, I keep getting my digging. I like this one, too, from Distant Lurker. Garbage Patch Kids. Buddy! All right.
Oh, my God.
You got time for one more. And then I'm gonna
All right. I got one more. I'm trying to find. There we go. I got it. Let me hit play. Over here.
Oh, my God.
I shrink this.
Richard? I may have to take this one from you. Are you ready? Because this news,
yeah.
I just got this. Ooh, this is sexy.
Well, mine's not going to last very long. Runaway! Twisted Fate Volume 2 lands in the App Store. Yay! On the PC, 50% discount on Volume 1 at $2.99 until Sunday night. Plunge into a dark yet humoristic adventure. Okay, you know what? I give up. It's a game. I'm not quite sure what it's about. The press release is not apparently in English originally, but it's $2.99, and it's on the App Store. So head over, check it out. What you got, Corey?
Namaste Entertainment just announced late last night, early this morning for us, that it will be bringing its Storybrooke toolset to Sony Online Entertainment's EverQuest Next. Did we know there was an EverQuest Next? EQN?
EverQuest Next?
Yes. Said you'll they've added some things like allow you to craft unique stories, assign likes, dislikes, other needs to NPCs. It looks like they're still in the early design phase to create a completely open and reactive world. Basically, they're about to give Skyrim a run for their flipping money is what they're going to do. And they're originators, so my money's on EverQuest. Do it. Storybrooke was previously built around an internal project that they had called the Kingdom of Default by Namaste, but they shelved it in December to partner with other studios, and EverQuest Next is their current project. They said they realized that the alpha of that particular game had a lot of problems, and it was not enough game for a traditional MMO audience, too complex for the casual player, and too much of a game for educational uses at the time. So they designed and built an emotional intelligence engine in order to breathe life into virtual characters. They have their own goals, moods. They interact among themselves and make decisions on their own. The story no longer revolves solely around scripted behavior. Game worlds can now be rich and complex. So we wake up every day with the same mission to bring you worlds filled with living, complex, emotional characters as never seen before. And what will change is the way we deliver it. And this, again, is going to be part of EverQuest Next. Ooh, I like this.
I approve of this.
I wholly approve of this. Even if it's a single player, it don't got to be MMO. I want to play because I want to see this NPC. This AI is going to be awesome.
No kidding, right?
And if you're into game design, you can pop around over to their website. I think they actually have a picture of the trees. If you don't know how they design a game, because most people, I think they just sit down and come up with an idea, and then bam, it actually starts out like a spreadsheet, and then it grows into the it has a process. And all that stuff you play in game, this is what should make it amazing to you, is somebody wrote each and every one of those lines at one time. So if you've been hearing a million different lines, be amazed. Or if you keep hearing arrow to the knee, say, okay, you couldn't come up with something else. the arrow to the knee thing keeps coming up. But, I'm looking at it amazing. Amazing. Right now, I can't get it to you, but it's the tree has one of the characters. His name is Baldwin. He's a noble, and it goes to the next set, which is what does he want to be? So they actually are giving them wants in life. He wants to be the king, and that's it. He has no other wants.
That seems so flipping cool.
Yeah, so
that seems so cool.
It is very, very cool. I love it. You got Cuthbert also. He wants to be in the order. I don't know what the order is yet. I guess we'll find out. You also have him wanting how he feels towards the king. Anyone who is the king, he feels honor bound. Do you see how they break it down? Anybody who's king, even if it's you, you're the player, he's going to be honor bound to you, Cuthbert. And I'm not going to tell you anymore because I don't want to give away the game once it gets to that part. You'll be looking for Cuthbert going, I know he's going to have my back. No.
That sounds so neat. I want to play this.
It's coming. All right, ladies and gents.
Do we know when?
I got nothing. That's the first time I saw EverQuest Next, so I'm going to have to do a little digging when I get a chance today and see if I can find out anything else. But Sony, I thought they were just laying down and dying. Apparently they're not. They came back with their flagship. It's nice.
One go live. One now. One now.
Here we go.
Oh, God. You know what? We're just going to say bye-bye to y'all because that is horrible. We can't leave y'all with that.
Bye-bye. We're so sorry. We're so sorry that GLaDOS is being a dirty little floor.
Yeah. Give them their kisses, Ginger.
We love you.
Bye, y'all. See you tonight.